Hello and welcome to Queer as Fiction.
Deep into the sex zone.
Yeah.
Okay.
Ooh. Oh god, okay.
Are we all good, ladies?
Wow.
Queer AF.
Shout out to Joanna Burns for making that dope intro you just heard, and shout out to Amanda Duncan for making us sound so pretty.
Amanda, right before she hit record, said, "Are y'all ready for this?" And I didn't know if she was talking to you guys or to us.
Sadly, it was to us.
Are you guys ready for this?
That's how I do when we're filming. That's how I get everybody ready.
Are you guys ready for this?
Y'all ready for this? Exactly. It gets people hyped. I'm a great director. Anyway, hello and welcome to Queer as Fiction. I'm your step... Nope!
You're taking my stepdaddy title?
Why do you? You immediately switch into this voice every time.
We all have our podcast voice. We need to accept
that. I don't think
that.
I do.
No, okay, I don't think you do
you're
either.
Just yourself. I'm not...
Some of us aren't secure enough.
I'm not used to being on not screen, but sound.
Okay. All right, welcome to Queer as Fiction. I'm your Zaddy Amanda, and to my right...
is your co-Zaddy, Ashley. And to my right...
I'm your step-Zaddy.
And I do not hate Kirsten's guts. I would like to make it very clear. Ashley, I would like to issue an apology for saying panty stain and being mean to Kirsten.
Ashley feels really guilty about saying she hates my guts.
I do, but you know what? It was our most downloaded episode, so I don't know. You tell me.
I honestly think it's because you guys all came for the panty stain, let's be honest.
I came thank for you the for stain. That. We'll get jean jackets that you can buy on our store that say came for the stain.
Oh, God.
Can they have Jessica Chastain's face on it?
That's amazing.
Jessica Chastain's gonna be like, "I did not agree to this. Please take my
you
image
cannot
off
use
here.
My image for this."
I can't breathe already.
Oh, yeah, but that was really exciting because last week was our most downloaded week. We love you guys. You're great.
Thank you.
Thank you for all the tweets. We really love the tweets. Okay. Oh, speaking of liking you guys a lot, we wanted to add a little section of this podcast where we shout out fans bi-weekly because we do this bi-weekly.
Bye.
Bye.
Sexual.
Should I do the bi-weekly shout out?
As the bisexual.
I will give this shout out. So we had a fan whose name we don't want to reveal because she's not in a situation where she can come out and be safe, but she wrote into us from Egypt where it's actually pretty dangerous for queer people to exist freely. And yeah, she just said that this podcast is kind of like a little beacon for her and a nice escape. So that type of stuff is really heartwarming for us to hear. And we know that we're extremely privileged to be out and safe, and not everyone has that same situation. So we just want to say for anyone listening that isn't safe being out, we love you and we see you, and we hope that someday soon you can.
We see you, you hear us, it's a whole thing. But you're our fan of the week, so thank you for writing, of the bi-week.
Bi-weekly. You are our bi-weekly fan.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She kind of looks like sad. It is a sad thing, but it's also really heartwarming to know that we are having a positive effect on people's lives. So, thanks. Switching gears.
Completely.
You are also having a positive effect on our life by sending us very well-written and interesting fan fiction about us.
Yeah, I mean, we said don't write fan fiction about us, but then
you
what...
said it.
But you okay, Amanda has always wanted fan fiction about us. I said don't write fan fiction about us, but you know, when we started getting fan fiction about us, it's really flattering.
I don't know what happened, but this week we got like 3 fanfics about us. Only one person explicitly said that we could read it on the air, though, so we're going to read that one. Amanda has not read it at all.
I have not.
Even though she sent it to us. It is very well written, and I can't wait for
it. It shook me to my core.
So will we comment on it as we go, or what are we going to do?
Sure. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Why not?
All right. So let's read some fan-submitted fanfic.
This is from OTW. This is apparently Kirsten/Ashley, which is ship name of Ashton. Not
I've
Kutcher.
I've always wanted a ship name. I won't lie.
I've already been part of a ship name before.
Oh, okay. Well, we get it.
But so the other reason that Amanda is reading this is because Amanda is in this, but is not featured in the sexy part of this. Also, please never write truly sexy fanfic.
Yeah, just
about
like herself. End it at like the kiss. Yeah.
So Amanda is going to insert herself into this fanfiction whenever she finds
whenever you feel it's right.
I'll see. I mean, I'm doing this on the fly.
Yeah.
But you guys are reading the lines of dialogue.
We'll read
yeah?
our dialogue.
Am I doing it in my gal voice or no?
No,
do it in your voice. You're not gal everything. Okay.
All right. You start it off.
Okay. And you can find me at ITS Ashley Perez on Twitter.
Ashley said before the trio signed off from their formerly, still currently, borderline pornographic podcast, their sound engineer clicked the button on the laptop that snipped off the recording and gave the ladies a thumbs up. P.S. We do not have a sound engineer.
We wish.
It's very kind of you to think that we're that rich.
Thank you, OTW. Ashley couldn't help but grin as they pulled their headphones from their ears and set them down on the table.
Another great episode.
She was sure people were going to love this newest one more than ever, especially since it had finally been her turn to tackle the Blanchett fic. And in light of the release of Ocean's 8, she had given the intimidating Aussie, the worthy partner of Sandra Bullock, whose written chemistry was what Kirsten called...
crazy sexy.
For a reason Ashley hadn't figured out yet, compliments about her talents always felt like they carried more weight when Kirsten gave them, but apparently not when I give them. It's fine. Ashley has more respect for Kirsten, or likewise. Why was that? Was that just her admiration for Kirsten? Maybe. Like, she admired when her dad gave her compliments? Wait, what?
Keep reading. That's, yep.
Okay. Nope, not like that. Oh, good call. wrong road to go down, Perez. The comparison made her nose scrunch up uncomfortably, pushing her silver-rimmed glasses a bit closer to her eyes. At the adorable bunny-like facial expression, Kirsten looked over to Ashley, still seated at the table despite the fact that Amanda was now in Kirsten's kitchen, grabbing the bottle of wine they were nearly finished with now.
I can see Kirsten in my periphery, and it's too much.
Uncomfortable. I like that everybody knows I drink wine on this podcast.
Apparently, person got us really down.
Yeah, this is great writing.
Well, just keep going, Amanda.
Kirsten raised her eyebrows at Ashley in question, who deadpanned a smile in response. Allergies?
Hey, that's my line.
Oh, sorry.
Allergies.
Nailed it. Ashley lied. Wait, I don't understand what's going on.
So I made a cute little face, and then Kirsten saw me, and then I was like, uh-oh, I don't want her to smile at me or whatever.
At that, the blonde broke out that just so perfectly Kirsten smile.
Oh, they know me so well.
On a podcast where you can't see Kirsten.
Whatever, they know I have a great smile.
And Ashley couldn't help but smile back, feeling the warmth fill her chest like the crappy Kirkland brand rosé they had drank during the podcast. Kirsten cocked an eyebrow at her.
Need your inhaler?
Fuck you.
Ashley rolled her eyes and turned just in time to see Amanda returning with the bottle. Our Uber's nearly here, she began, nodding her head to the sound engineer. Who's the sound engineer? Let's cast it. Jessica Chastain. So now imagine the sound engineer is Jessica Chastain. And I'm about to get an Uber with her.
A Lyft in LA.
We just have separate stories. I just...
Yeah, you have... That way you write
someone
tonight.
Can write that.
Wait,
one.
Please write that tonight. No.
She's nodding her head to the sound engineer, who was now meticulously putting away all of the equipment. And I've got a bit of work to do at the office, so I'll leave you two ladies to finish a bottle of our exquisite wine.
We also have an office in this, which is cool. Like, we have a separate girlship office, I guess.
That would be great.
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
Amanda laughed, setting it on the table before moving to help pack things up. Wait, Ash, you good? We could all pile in, Amanda began.
Yeah, I'm done for the day anyhow.
Something occurred to Ashley that she hadn't thought to ask.
Is it okay if I hang out for a bit?
She inquired of Kirsten. An abnormally strong pang of fear of rejection washed through Ashley's bones.
For sure.
Was her quick reply as Kirsten took the bottle and filled her own glass before filling Ashley's for her. I like that you're like, I need to hang out for a bit, so let me drink some more. Ashley hadn't thought to ask Kirsten to do so, but she was glad she did. She was all nerves today and couldn't quite place why. When she thought about it, the first thing that came to mind was that night last weekend that Ashley and Kirsten had spent on the dance floor together. A true tree and squirrel matchup. And Amanda was there, dancing too.
With Jessica Chastain.
Amanda added that.
That's our insert.
Ashley remembered that through the dim light, she had thought that she had seen a glimmer of desire in Kirsten's eye that hadn't been there before, but her anxious instincts had told her that it was just too strong rum and coke that she had finished previously that was telling her this. But now that the seed of the idea was in her head, it had started to take root, and Ashley's heart informed her that this certainly wasn't a bad thought, not bad at all. Amanda steps back in. Hey, guys, is everything okay?
Hey, you guys are looking
guys,
at each other.
This will really complicate the podcast if you fuck, so...
Hey, guys, just don't do anything stupid while I'm gone with Jessica Chastain. Distracted, Ashley had barely taken two sips of her third glass of wine, more than she had normally drank on a weekday, before Amanda was waving goodbye. I'm leaving now with Jessica. Amanda was waving goodbye, followed by Kirsten, who shut the door of her apartment behind her. The knowledge that they were now alone brought Ashley to take down the remainder of her glass in a quick few sips. Okay, I'm starting to feel uncomfortable. Kirsten began walking back towards Ashley.
I still haven't watched the finale of Killing Eve.
An excited grin grew on Kirsten's lips. Without hesitation, Ashley rose from the table, drink in hand.
Oh my god, you're gonna lose your goddamn mind.
Ashley nearly shouted as the two moved towards Kirsten's living room. Ooh, there's an act break.
This is act break, which is important.
All right, so we're gonna fast forward. Me and Jessica Chastain are at my place now. We're also having some drinks.
What are you guys drinking? Champagne?
We're drinking champagne. We're playing a game, maybe some Scrabble. Just
to be sexy. Sexy Amanda.
I get really competitive with Scrabble.
This week I will be writing Amanda and Chastain playing Scrabble sexily. God, that would be amazing. Sexily.
You spell out really sexy words. It can be sexy, guys. All right. As the two sat with maybe half a foot of air between them, air that Ashley disdained for a reason, that was becoming clearer and clearer to her. They've now separated as we're reading this.
Getting in character.
The show came to a close. Ashley's knees had been tucked in towards her chest. Ashley's knees had been tucked in towards... You are acting it out right now.
We're not going to act the full thing out.
Okay. Ashley's knees had been tucked in towards her chest, and Kirsten sat cross-legged, barely keeping her jaw from popping open and hitting the floor. As she had found her eyes drifting towards the step, Zaddy. Yes. Awesome. Please refer to us in those names. Ashley had found her eyes drifting towards the step, Zaddy.
Whoa. I got the tone.
More often than she realized. And she thought that every once in a while, when her eyes strayed back to the amazing finale, she thought she had felt Kirsten's eyes on her, too. Did you just finish your wine?
Mm-hmm. I did. I certainly did.
Oh my god, Amanda, please finish this.
Yes. Ashley felt her strenuous hold on self-control waning as the show entered its final minutes. And that's when Amanda comes in and says, hey, you guys are watching Killing Eve? Let's talk about it. He's completely cockblock you. Ashley felt her strenuous hold on self-control waning as the show entered its final minutes and tried to get the hummingbird in her chest to calm its shit. Ashley's eyes now rested on Kirsten as she tried to convince herself that it was purely to see Kirsten's reaction to the show that had been a prime conversation topic for the pair for the last several weeks. Kirsten looked at Ashley out of her peripheral vision, and before Ashley could think to look away, Kirsten turned to face her, cheeks a rosy pink. Flushed from wine? Maybe, although they had just finished a bottle nearly half an hour ago. As the title card returned to the screen for a final time, Ashley tried to work herself up. You're James Bond. You're Beyonce. You're Kate Blanchett. Are those the characters you would choose?
It was pretty close. Not James Bond, but for sure Beyonce and Kate Blanchett.
Nice. The last thought gave her the gusto to lean forward and snatch the remote from the table and click the television off before she lifted herself onto Kirsten's lap, grabbing Kirsten's face in her hands and kissing her before her anxiety could talk her out of it.
She stole Amanda. My freaking move.
Amanda's having so much fun.
She stole my move.
I did. It's a good move. It's a great
Thank
move.
Thank you.
Did that move come out? Didn't we talk about that last week?
Yeah, we did, about the move which is last why. Week.
Okay,
yeah,
okay.
This would be creepy if we hadn't done it.
With a short gasp, Kirsten responded to the kiss with enthusiasm, her hands finding her way into Ashley's hips. And then Amanda came in and said, what's going on here? Brittany's going to be home any minute.
This seems like a terrible idea.
This is a bad idea, guys. Please She's separate. Like- I'm going to give you a ride home, Ashley. Do you mind if Jessica Chastain tags along? The touch that had sent electricity into Ashley's bones, but she pulled away from the kiss just to be sure.
This, okay?
Ashley squeaked. Kirsten smiled and nodded at the blushy figure on top of her.
I read that as bushy when I first read it, and I was like, okay, sure.
Escalated.
A few seconds later, Kirsten whispered against Ashley's lips,
man, consent is so sexy.
And then they fuck.
You're and then Amanda comes back in.
And then I come back in and I'm like, woo. Me and Jessica Chastain are getting married. Would you guys like to come to the wedding?
Oh, I'm my sweating. God. That was That's, something.
I was like weirdly accurate some parts.
We're like not... all sweating. And
but it's also very warm in this room.
It's warm, it in, this warm room, in this room, but I did finish my wine during that. It was really something.
I finished my beer. I think...
Honestly, the writing was good, though.
Yeah, it was very well written.
And they kind of captured your voice well. I mean, I don't know if you guys noticed, but I only really had, like, 2 or 3 lines.
You are just the person that I'm staring at the whole time. I also think... I don't know how, but Kirsten has come across on this podcast. Is
oh,
like
so swaggy.
Super
I love it.
Swaggy, suave. And I was so anxious to just, like, staring at your mouth the whole time, apparently.
Guys, I'll take it. I'll be a swag.
I am glad that I got to use Kirsten's move, though, because it's a good move.
Yeah, it is.
Pausing the Netflix.
TM it. If you guys want to submit your own fan fiction to us, email girlshiptv@gmail.com with the subject line fan fiction submission, and maybe we will read your fan fiction. Let us know if you want to be shouted out by name or if you want to remain anonymous.
Mm-hmm. And thank you, OTW, for submitting that.
Yeah, what a great writer you
are.
Yeah,
really great writer. I mean, I'm uncomfortable, but you did good.
Because you did so good. Yeah, that's why they're uncomfortable. Yeah.
We also just have to sit so close to each other for this podcast.
Yeah, we do. We really
Only
do.
You too.
I know.
Amanda always
Amanda
gets her,
has
own,
her
side.
Own side.
Please write Amanda into it next time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so we got a lot of really good submissions. Again, it's so hard to decide because you guys are just creative as fuck.
All right, so it's my week to do fan fiction of Kate Blanchett, and it got us all in an Ocean's mood. So I got a suggestion from Vin Breslau, to do Kate Blanchett and Sandra Bullock at the Met Gala. Actually, I got a lot of suggestions to do Deb and Lou, and I have been doing the Tumblr prep time, let me tell you. Anyway, we decided, let's do all Oceans. So who are you going to do, Kirsten?
Wait, but you're doing the characters in the movie, not the two,
two
actors.
Deb and Lou.
Yeah.
So there were a lot of good tweets, but keeping with the Oceans theme, Kira suggested Rihanna seducing Sarah Paulson during the press tour of Ocean's 8 at dinner with their co-stars, which I love. Because these are my two biggest crushes. If anyone follows me on Twitter, I tweet about Rihanna very frequently. She's an important part of my life, along with Anthony.
Rihanna and Anthony are not that big.
So I'm going to do this choice. I think I'm going to actually write it in the tone of their characters in the film, though, because I have some fun ideas for that.
You're okay. Not going to do Anthony and an avocado, as
maybe
Nikki
Anthony.
Suggested.
Oh, and maybe Anthony and an avocado will make an appearance sometime. But right now, I feel like... I just got to focus on my girl, Ree.
And so, after we figured out those two, I was like, well, I have to do Oceans now, too. So, I'm going to do none of which were suggested, but Anne Hathaway and Mindy Kaling on the press tour.
Yeah.
Because Mindy Kaling will not stop staring at Anne Hathaway on the press
tour. Amanda had a tweet that Mindy Kaling herself retweeted and commented on that was like, find someone who stares at you the way that Mindy Kaling stares at Anne Hathaway, and she's very lovingly looking at her. And Mindy Kaling said, love me some Annie, right?
Or she said, like, I'm an Annie stan.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's enough fanfic.
We're going to run with that.
Yeah, we're going to... Sorry, Mindy Kaling, if you listen to our podcast.
Also, hi, Mindy Kaling, if you listen to our
God,
podcast.
Oh, my God, Mindy Kaling, thank you so much for tuning in again and being our number one supporter on Patreon. Mindy, we like, love you.
One of my favorite people just ever.
Love
I
you.
Tell people all the time I want to be like you.
Oh, love my God. Min. And Anne's here, too?
Anne. Thank you listen as well.
We loved you in Ocean's 8 and Princess Diaries.
Yeah, I don't understand what happened. The internet is stupid, but I've always loved you.
Yeah, I don't get that.
We
Why
stan
do people,
Anne.
I
That's
think,
good merch.
So I think that people Anne. Hate Anne Hathaway because they hate women.
Mm-hmm. No, truly. I should write that article for people.
I feel like I've had this conversation with several people, but I think it was Allie who brought it up.
Yes.
Who said it was because... Of the Oscars.
Yeah, James Franco. She was like, James Franco was basically such a slacker and was so chill that Anne Hathaway had to pick up all the slack, and people hated her because she tried too hard, which is the most sexist thing I've ever heard.
Yeah.
So on this podcast, we stan Anne.
Yes.
Forever and always, ever since the Princess Diaries.
Yes, agreed.
Also, Sandra Oh is in Princess Diaries. Amazing.
Oh my God, she's Gupta.
Gupta.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Gupta. The queen is coming.
Grove High School.
When she has a little saucer and cup.
Anyway.
So good.
Okay, so we're going to take 15 minutes and we're going to write these and then we'll be back.
We are not being sponsored by Ocean's 8. I should put that out there, but if they want to sponsor us.
Also, I'm going to go watch it again just because I want to see all the queer stuff.
Yes. All right, here we go. 15.
Bye.
And we're back.
Hello.
Hello.
Creepy motherfucker.
I'm sorry.
Oh, you're trying to be mean to Kirsten.
I'm sorry. Here we
go. Yeah, last week it was I fucking hate you. Now I'm a creepy motherfucker.
It was I hate your guts.
Oh, yeah, I hate your guts. Sorry.
Why did you feel the need to correct her on that?
You're right.
I hate your guts does feel less intense than I fucking hate you.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, I would never say that.
Okay, Luke.
Okay.
I don't hate Kirsten. I want that to be clear. We are currently at her place.
It's also our merch you can buy.
I don't Kirsten.
And then on the back,
and
it says,
nobody puts Datamanda in the corner.
It says datamanda.com.
God damn it.
Okay. So in honor of Oceans, I decided to cue mine in with a little bit of music. Ready? You get where this is going. All right. Mine is called A New York Night. It's not original, but it works. I get embarrassed every time we do this. Why is this our podcast?
I thought that was your first line.
No, okay. Done, said Deb while looking straight into Lou's blue eyes. Lou was standing across the street in a sequined emerald green suit. You know the one. I inserted that. And God, did she look good. Done, Lou smirked, feet firmly planted, never taking her eyes off Deb's. What now? Lou called from across the road. Pizza? Deb queried. There's a new place by mine. We can grab it, walk to mine, and count our money. Deal, Lou said, finally giving in, walking towards Deb. But I must warn you, she said into Deb's ear as she grew close. I'm going to get you drunk and then steal your share of the take. Fair, Deb whispered back in that Sandra Bullock whisper that she refuses to go above in the whole entire movie.
I'm going to get you drunk and then steal your virginity.
Oh, shit. That's more that Kate Blanchett. Yeah. The two of them walk side by side down the streets of Manhattan to this pizza spot, their hands dangerously close to each other the whole time. And though both of them refused to look at each other, they were both smiling the whole time. Can you guys just picture that? They're like looking ahead, so happy. That's New York, baby. This is the moment they had both been waiting for, the moment they were finally free. All the money they needed, no more brothers, lovers, or stupid men. Just the two of them with a lot of cash and even more time. Two pepperonis and one vegetarian for the lady, Lou gestured at the tired pizza man.
She ordered for her?
Yeah, excuse me, Deb fought back. I'll have two meat lovers, please. Ooh, she's feisty, Lou retorted. So two pepperoni and two meat lovers, the pizza man replied, clearly not amused with their flirting. Yep, Lou shot back. But this one's on me, Deb said, leaning into Lou. About time, Lou whispered, leaning back. She walked away, which Deb gladly watched, unable to hide a smile from her face. By the time they got to the apartment, they were both hardly able to hold their excitement. Their pinkies were touching as Deb reached for her keys. She put the key in the lock, but before she finished opening the door, she turned towards Lou unexpectedly. Just so you know, she said seductively, you owe me $4. She quipped as she finished turning the key and ran up the stairs past Lou. Lou sighed. She had been got, but she would have the last laugh. Sitting on the couch, Postby said the two were fully relaxed. I think I'm headed to Greece on a yacht. God knows it's been long enough since I had a tan, Deb mused as she poured the two glasses of wine. But where will we put my bike? Lou asked, grabbing a glass and leaning against the counter towards Deb. Oh, I wasn't aware you were coming. Are you prepared to pay your way? Deb asked, slowly making her way around the counter towards Lou. Always, Lou replied, her face inching closer to Deb's. Good. Deb whispered back, because if you don't pay your debts, I was going to have to turn you in, she said, turning away. But before she could, Lou grabbed her face. Enough, Deb, she said, her hands lost in Deb's hair. It's you and me, no bullshit. She kissed her like she dreamed of doing for the past 10 years. Fine, Deb replied, pulling away. But I'm riding on the back of your bike, none of this sidecar crap. The end.
So they made out.
Yeah, they made out. They were kissing.
And then
you guys, I'm not going to lie. This wasn't my best fanfic because I was looking at pictures of them the whole time. I was just looking at GIFs and like, wow, this is amazing. And then I forgot to write my fic.
I liked it. I like that the whole through line of the story is that they owe each other money.
Yeah.
Because I feel like that would be a hard thing to get past when you're fucking someone if they owe you money. It's like, actually, you owe me $4 for that pizza.
They keep Venmoing each other throughout their whole relationship.
That's how you know people are fucking, though, when they Venmo each other. Like, if you Venmo someone, that's how I found out my ex was dating someone new.
Because there's Venmo.
I just looked at his Venmo and I was like, oh, you're getting sushi with someone I see.
This is why mine's private.
Oh.
I'm going to play mine out.
That would be smart. Yep. They drive off on the motorcycle off into the distance.
I like how much they were teasing each other.
They were. That was the vibe I was going for. Like, they were just one-upping each other.
Scale of 1 to 5 Totinos?
That's like a 2 Totino for me.
Oh, it was
a
great, no.
I would say 3.5, 4.
Okay. I would give it 4 Totinos. And I deduct the 1 Totino because the unrealistic part is, like, you don't feel super sexy after you eat a bunch of pizza. And, you probably don't want to have sex.
I keep putting pizza in all my stories. With the Taylor and Camila one, there was pizza, too.
Yeah.
But in New York, I was trying to think of what they would get.
No, that's
pizza.
Totally
accurate. No. Less sexy, less, I think.
It
hot
makes
dogs.
Them feel hot, like some street hot dogs.
I've spent so much time thinking about them, and I didn't do well enough.
I think you did really good.
It's okay. You're really down on yourself right now.
Yeah, I mean, I was like, the reason why I was being so quiet is because I was picturing every move.
Yeah.
Okay. I think when I'm really quiet, it's because I'm in the world.
Okay. That makes
you
feel better.
Trying to concentrate because I keep getting mixed up with Deb and Lou.
I know, that was hard too for me, that their names are so short and
they both
the
like
same.
Really stayed in character though of like what they would do though, and they had that like good sexy teasing relationship.
Yeah. Oh, thanks guys. Wow.
Yes.
No, I'm really down on myself for no reason.
If you think that her fanfic sucked, please don't tell us.
No, you guys can rate ours on a scale of 1 to 5 Totinos, but you know, be nice.
That's that.
What?
That was mine.
Oh. What?
Should we read another one?
All right. So mine is called 5 Minutes. Okay. Thank you so much. Best of luck on the film. A reporter smiled as he shook Anne Hathaway's hand and left the room. Rude. Mindy Kaling laughed, sitting right next to the actress. Notice how he didn't shake my hand? She leaned to Anne. Do you want me to go beat him up? I'll do it. Fucker won't work in this town again, Anne yelled as she got up. Mindy pulled her back into her chair, laughing. The two were delirious. They were on hour 9 of press in London for the number one movie in America, Ocean's 8, and they were totally jet-lagged. This is the first time they had done press together, and Mindy was thrilled. She had the most fun with Anne on set, and she was excited to see the Oscar winner again. But maybe too excited? Mm. She used to be a fan of Anne. That noise you made. She used to be a fan of Anne Hathaway's. She remembered watching Princess Diaries in college at Dartmouth, and she always marveled at how brilliant the young actress was. She was still a fan, but now she had to keep the fangirl inside. They are friends, after all.
She is a fan.
Yeah, she's a fan.
Of Anne. Fan of Anne. We stan Anne.
Anne laid her head onto Mindy's shoulder. I need a whole bottle of wine after this. Anne's perfume danced around Mindy's nose.
Ooh!
You smell nice, Mindy whispered. What? Anne said. Nothing. Mindy quickly looked away. Mindy was used to being the awkward one in the room, but times have changed. She had grown up. She had found her confidence.
Yes, why not me, Mindy?
Yeah. I said you smell nice, Mindy stated, making direct eye contact with Anne. Thank you. Why are you looking at me like that? Mindy looked away, too confident, she thought. 5 minutes until the next one, ladies, the room coordinator let the actresses know. Can I get you anything? Anne sat up, very poised, and began to chat with the coordinator about getting a refreshment. She did it with such grace, Mindy thought. Mindy was staring at her with a half smirk on her face as Anne spoke. The woman running the room noticed. Are you okay, Mindy? What? Mindy snapped out of it. Oh, fine, I'll take a Diet Coke, please. You've been staring at me a lot, Mindy, Anne said. Just jet lagged, I guess. Mindy clearly lied. Tell her the truth, she thought. Tell her that you want to know what it would be like to take her face in your hands and gently kiss her lips.
Oh!
Find that confidence. I want to kiss your face, Mindy shouted. Anne was taken back by this. Okay. What? Kiss me. What's happening? Mindy looked around. Am I being punked? Sweet 90s reference. I thought you were a writer, Anne teased. Are you negging me right now? Well, you're not kissing me, so... And without hesitation or doubt, Mindy took the actress's face into her hands and kissed her deeply. She pulled Anne towards her, and as they nearly toppled over in the director's chairs they were sitting in, the room coordinator entered the room with the drinks. She saw the two women kissing and paused, trying to register what was happening. She slowly backed out of the room and stopped a reporter trying to enter. It'll be another 20 minutes. And then they fucked. The end. You're welcome.
Wow! Yes. Five Totinos!
Yeah, that was...
My goodness!
You captured the essence well, for sure.
You really did! And I love the, like, nagging and the... Mm-hmm. Is the theme of this that all of the Oceans people nag each other to death?
There's a little bit of nagging in mine, too.
That was so great, Amanda!
That was excellent.
A lot of teasing.
Wow. I liked it.
My favorite thing about your fan fiction is how much you drive a point home sometimes.
Yeah.
Like, that Mindy was a fan of Anne, and that there were cigars last week, and they were in the cigar lounge.
Unintentional. That's called bad writing.
Oh my god.
It's called writing and then not reading it before.
I think the hardest part about writing fan fiction is trying to find other ways to say, said Deb, said Lee.
I know.
Said so. You're like, and she quickly responded.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
She said, leaning into her. It's like so hard to not make them too over the top.
Totally.
Yeah.
Oh, great job, Five Totinos. You really built the sexual chemistry that I wasn't sure was going to be there, honestly. I was a skeptic.
Neither. Oh, wow. But I can see it.
I can see it now.
Mindy and Anne, I mean, she said in a tweet, directly quoting my tweet, she is an Annie Stan.
Oh, yeah, so, and you worked that in.
Yeah.
Ugh, amazing.
I like that merch, We Stan Anne.
I love We Stan shirts. Anne.
We Stan Anne.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I do stand.
We got a lot of shirt ideas.
Anne Hathaway's face on there.
We're going to start making merch. Tweet at us if you want merch. Cool.
Thanks.
In Anne We Stand.
We're still talking about merch, guys.
Well, if you just may have it a shirt that just said merch.
Oh, that's kind of, that's actually really fun.
Very meta.
I would wear a hat that said merch.
Yeah.
It's like the sweatshirt from Unfortunately
Ashley. Oh, yeah.
You were wearing that... I feel like I was with you when you were wearing that and somebody was like, hey, I really like your sweater.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, well, it's my turn. My fanfic is called The Perfect Fit, parentheses, no dildos.
Oh, you kept it!
Tammy is Sarah Paulson in the film and Nineball is Rihanna. You can put that right over there, Tim, said Tammy. Tammy had just finished lifting some designer's dresses for the girls. She inhaled deeply. She loved this. As much as she had convinced herself the past 5 years that she didn't miss her little life of crime, deep down she knew it was what she was best at. It was what she was meant to do. You know, I wouldn't be caught dead in one of those, said Nineball, sneaking up behind her. Tammy jumped. Nineball was unlike anyone she had ever met. She was sharp, funny, and she didn't care what others thought of her, a trait Tammy both admired and was jealous of. Oh, now, come on, you can't be sure you won't like it until you try it, right? Said Tammy. Nineball rolled her eyes. Please, humor me? Tammy said, nerves pulsing through her. Suddenly, this felt like it was about much more than just a dress. Fine, but I need your opinion, Nineball said, looking Tammy up and down and smiling. With that, she grabbed the dress in one hand and Tammy's with the other. Tammy felt high. Nerves pulsed through her, unlike anything she'd felt before. She loved her husband and her kids, but there was some part of her that just lit up during a heist. And there was undeniably some part of her that lit up when she was with Nineball. When they got to Lou's back office, Nineball closed the door behind her. It was the first time they had been alone. Really alone. Turn around, you little perv, Nineball joked. Immediately, Tammy was blushing and turned towards the door. Why was she blushing? Why was she so nervous? She heard Nineball slip on the dress and tried not to think about what she looked like in that moment. You're going to need to zip me. Designers don't really make dresses for all this body, Nineball said. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I love her body so much. I had to.
Are you Sarah Paulson in this fantasy?
Yes, yes. Okay. When Tammy turned around, she was breathless. She knew Nineball was
Kristen's blushing.
I know. I'm sorry. I wrote that line. I was like, I know I'm going to get shit for it, but I have to leave it in.
I was okay with Amanda Bursell.
When Tammy turned around, she was breathless. She knew Nineball was beautiful. She was beautiful wearing a hoodie and sweats, but seeing her like this and in such close quarters, it was just too much. Tammy adjusted her sweater nervously before walking closer towards her. With shaky hands, she grabbed Nineball's zipper, trying not to notice the curve in her back as she zipped it up. There, Tammy said. It's perfect. Nineball turned and faced the mirror. Oh, damn, I would fuck myself, Nineball laughed.
Very Rihanna.
Me too. Tammy breathed nervously.
Yes. Kristen is Sarah Paulson. This is so funny.
Shit, did she just say that out loud? Nineball turned towards her, raising an eyebrow and then smiled. Yeah? Tammy couldn't speak. Nineball walked closer towards her. You know, for a suburban Lacoste ad, you're not bad yourself. Tammy gulped heavily. Was she being crazy or was Nineball reciprocating her feelings? I can almost hear you thinking, Nineball said, smiling. I stuttered Tammy. It's okay. I'm better at this than talking anyway, Nineball said, leaning in. Then she kissed her. Tammy felt her smooth hand slip around her waist and she leaned into her. How would she go back to her life after this?
Oh.
So they're just making out in Deb's office?
Yes.
Amanda needs to clarify every time where the making out happened. Did it happen? How did it happen?
So did they fuck? They fucked. You're welcome.
Yay.
Yeah, we can't write the fucking, so like Amanda, we'll all just end. And then they fucked. You're welcome.
You're welcome. So how many Totinos?
I'll give it 4 Totinos. Everyone did the characters.
4.5?
4.5.
Yeah. Okay. Wow. Thank you.
Are you
disagree? Now Ashley apparently disagrees with the
no,
4.
No, now I'm just
I guess I don't deserve that half Totino.
No, I only got 3.5, and now I'm like, wow.
I gave you 4.5.
No, you did a great job, but Amanda gave me 3.5. So I very quickly was like, oh, I thought the scale was just less. It was great. I feel like you captured their mood and their soul. I think I know what the question has to be this week then.
What is it?
It's workplace romances. These are all workplace romances. Oh, God.
For it.
Why did you do that? Amanda just did like a, I don't even, how would you describe this motion?
She like leaned in and put her arms out and was like, for it.
Like a
hype man
start a game or yeah. Something.
So the question is, would you be into a workplace romance or would you not?
Or that's not the question. Everyone has a crush on workplace people. It's like, what are the rules of workplace romance?
Or like, how do you? Okay.
Okay. I know a lot of people who are against it and I understand the reasons. You being one of them.
Yeah.
You're against it, but you're.
I know. I'm dating someone I met at work.
I feel like we've had this conversation a lot.
Yeah. You can say your reasons why you're for it.
Well, first. I just like, I am an antisocial person. So most of the time, a lot of the people that I meet at work, case in point, the two people sitting in front of me. So I don't go a lot of other places to meet people. So I kind of like get like, oh, you meet someone at work, you date someone at
but
work.
But counter question, when you're not at a workplace like BuzzFeed, where people are pretty openly out, how do you tell someone's
queer? Like the Deb and Lou vibe where they just like I fuck each other all day long?
Yeah, like I think I've probably been in previous workplaces where maybe there was like some sort of crush, but when it comes to dating
queer people, well, my girlfriend wasn't out until we made out, and then I was like, oh, do you like women?
Do you like what's happening right now?
She was like, yeah, I'm into it. I'm like, cool.
I mean, I've worked at a lot of places.
Amanda really has.
I've worked at a lot of
Warner Brothers tour, at the movie theater,
Yelp.
At
Grubhub. No,
Grubhub. Sorry.
And I mean, like, well, because I worked at Grubhub probably aside from BuzzFeed, it might have been my longest job. I think it was like 2.5 years. For example, since I was a call center, you would, everybody would G chat each other or it was before Slack. It was like a chatting service.
Hip chat.
I think we did have HipChat. I could be wrong. Hmm. Anybody who worked at Grubhub with me who happens to be listening to this.
And Mindy Kaling, if you happen to know Mindy.
And Anne Hathaway. But yeah, I mean, you would talk and you'd get personal. So like that shit did come up with your coworkers because sometimes you'd be bored because it was a slow night.
Right. I also feel like queer people have uniquely like not subtle, but trying to be subtle ways of like telling each other they're queer. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
100%.
Yeah. I used to try and like drop subtle hints because since I am like so femme presenting and people normally don't assume I'm queer, it would be like such a fucking task to let people know I was bi.
Yeah. How did you do it? What are the ways you can let someone know you're gay?
I feel like just like telling them what movies I like, just like citing gay movies.
Celebrity crushes.
Yeah. Celebrity. Or, yeah.
See, but
also,
that's hard because I feel like with when it girl comes crush. To women, girl crushes are like,
right.
But if someone brings
so
it up,
common.
Yeah. Well,
I would say stuff like, oh, she's so cute. Like about actors. I think literally until you're making out with someone in front of someone else, especially straight people, they like don't register your queerness.
Well, and if you're super femme presenting, even for other queer women, it's like, I don't know. Mm-hmm. This is a thing.
I think it's easy to come up during Pride. During the month of Pride, it's pretty easy to get that conversation going.
But honestly now, and this is great, but it's terrible. People are all allies now and they're like, what are you doing for Pride? And I'm like, what are you doing? Wait, what are you doing for Pride?
Wait, why are you talking about Pride?
Yeah. And they're like, oh, I love rainbows.
Yeah. It is great that there's so many allies now, but it does, like, take those spaces, like, bars.
And I'm happy that
they're there, but it's also, like, it does make it a little bit more complex. Like,
the fun part of a crush and the terrible part of it at the same time is that knowing that you have some kind of sexual tension with someone and then not acting on it and then knowing that the other person knows and then just like not being able to do anything about it. But I think that's hard when you're queer too, because it adds a whole other layer of like, normally in that phase anyway, you're like, wait, am I crazy or is this going on? You're like, no, it's actually going on. And then when you're queer though, you're like, wait, maybe I am crazy and they are straight and this is all in my brain.
Yeah.
Yeah. What are you talking about?
I'm just talking about that phase when you have a crush on someone and they know you guys mutually know something.
Are you just talking about your girlfriend right now?
Yeah. Okay. But like then the queer moment when you're not sure.
It's one thing when you're pining after someone who you assume heterosexual, so like interested in women, but then it's just a whole other layer of detective work when you have to determine, one, do they like you? Two,
are they gay?
Are they queer? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I've made videos about this.
Go to dateamanda.com to watch them right now.
But like the only surefire way to let people know that you're queer, aside from saying I'm queer, is I think for like when I was at Grubhub, I think I would be like, oh my God, I have a crush on that girl who just came in.
Oh, yeah, that's a good way to do it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Also just a good way to see if you're telling your crush that, to see if they get jealous.
Well, this is like why like wow, hanky code and all those things were invented because it was like
easy
to signal to people.
Yeah.
Yeah. But for as far as workplace crushes, my stance is against it, but I'm literally dating someone I met at work.
You're benefiting from it, though.
I also think the hard part, though, is workplace crushes go two ways. You either date them or you just sleep with them or hook up with them. Both are, obviously, it's nice to date someone, but if you just hook up with someone and then you have to see them at work again, it inevitably, even if it's not weird right away, it gets weird at some point because they either have a crush on someone else later or you end up dating someone else from work. Yeah. It is hard. It's not a good...
It gets messy, but that's the risk you have to take for love.
Amanda, oh, it gets messy.
Amanda will take risks for love.
What's Ocean's 8, great workplace romance, but it's not a conventional workplace.
And it'll also disappear. Not an overt romance, but we made it an overt romance.
All of them overt romances.
So, Amanda, you're pro workplace romance?
Yes, I am. But I do understand because I have been rejected by somebody. I've been rejected by two people who said they don't date coworkers.
Dateamanda.com.
New headshots every week.
God, can we start that?
Shout
out to the person that actually bought Dateamanda.com and rerouted it to Girlship. You are a hero. Okay, well, that is that.
You can find me at Dateamanda.com.
You can find me at Awkward Holland on all platforms.
You can find me at Kirsten L. King on Instagram or KirstenKing_ on Twitter or DanaManda.com.
If you want to support queer content, please donate to our Patreon. That's patreon.com/girlshiptv.
And thanks, Amanda Duncan, for being our lovely, wonderful editor and sifting through all of our garbage.
Keep that part, Amanda. Bye.
Bye.